This call is being recorded. If you do not wish to be recorded, please disconnect at this time.
All right. So welcome, everybody, to our May call. I had to think about what month it was. So
I
have a great call for you. No, it's like going so fast. This is Jenny Norris, IHOS chairwoman, and I want to thank you all for joining us on the call. I don't have the ability to mute everybody when I do this through Ring Central and record it, so if you could be so kind as to mute your own phones so that if there's any background noise, if you're in your vehicle or out where there's noise, we won't hear it. That would be great. And we've got a great call for you. Betty, are you on? Betty had a...
I said hi, Jenny, to Benny a minute ago and just said, are you here? And there was no answer, so I don't know about
that. Yeah, so she wrote to me earlier today, so she has a family emergency. I didn't know she would still be able to try to make it on the call or not. So Betty is not on the call tonight. So she'll be, she's sorry to miss the call, but she has to take care of her family. So we will have the call without her. And so Lloyd Flanders, are you on?
I am.
Yes.
This is Brian and Chris.
Brian and Chris. Hi. Perfect.
Hello.
So we're going to have you guys share. Coming up, and then Barb, of course, I know you're on. I think that is everything for the call as far as guests. So tonight's call, we'll start off just with some general announcements. We'll have Barb share. We'll hear from Lloyd Flanders, and then I was going to go over the new statistics that just came out from the association and review all of those with you, and then I'll be able to share with you where you can find all of the data and the visuals and so forth to make sure you know that those are out, because we've been posting them everywhere. But I did want to kind of go through and explain some of the results and so forth. So general announcements, we were talking about Barb has her webinar coming up on May 22nd. It is for IHOSP members, and we posted it on social media. So if you go to the IHOSP page or the group, I think I also put it on the public page as well, you'll see a link for that. And then when you click on it, it takes you to a Google form that you have to fill out, and then we're collecting the names and so forth, and emails. And then the day prior or the day of, we'll send you the actual Zoom links. You'll all have that. And but again, you won't get that until the 21st of May. So don't forget to register for that. It is free. There's complimentary, I should say, because there's no value in free. Complimentary.
Linda
Lancy. Hi, Linda. It's complimentary for all members, and you definitely want to tune into that. So that will be an exciting webinar. We chose that date because it was actually the day prior to when the Portugal conference was supposed to happen, and we were going to be there sharing and so forth. And so in lieu of that, we thought it'd be great to have this, is it 90 minutes, Barb, roughly?
That's right. You're absolutely right.
Okay. So it's a 90-minute webinar and going over how to thrive in challenging times. So it's going to be, excellent information, of course, because Barb always delivers excellent information. So just get registered, because I know that last count we were about halfway full. I was going to try to pull that up. So don't wait, don't procrastinate and then try to get in the day prior, because there probably won't be any space, because it is open to everybody around the world. And there's only 100 spots available, and it's first come, first register. So make sure to look for that. It is on the IHOS page and the IHOS group, and if you can't find it somewhere, you can always email me and I can send you the link for that. So we're excited for that. Other announcements, I don't know if you guys saw Market. Vegas Market and Atlanta Market have both been rescheduled. So Atlanta is happening in August. I think it's the 13th to the 18th of August, and then Vegas will be at the end of month, August 30th to September 4th is when they're holding theirs. So we'll take a look at the dates, and we're deciding whether we're going to do a wholesale market tour or not. But I am excited they are going to be holding those, and they'll be doing – we'll do some education, but it'll probably be webinar-based. They're not doing large rooms, so I don't know if they're going to be screening how many people can actually get into the showrooms, but they're taking precautions. However, it is good news that they're holding those, because I know a lot of people have been waiting to be able to purchase things. I know my market – the first home goods store opened up this last week, and it's the only one in all of Denver. And so we went down on Sunday and loaded up as much as we could, like 9 carts worth and 3 hand trucks, and it was still picked over. So hopefully your stores will be opening up soon too, because that's one thing I hadn't really considered was with the virus breakout. these stores were shut down. And at some point, because real estate is still considered essential, that part of our business has opened up. But if you can't go buy stuff that you need in a pinch, you're sort of up the creek, the old proverbial creek.
Right.
So, yeah. Mm. Yeah. So we're hoping that everybody is, you know, doing well, and hopefully your areas are starting to really open up. And, you know, May might be a kind of an odd month for you, so don't forget to keep track of your financials and submit for your business interruption insurance claim if you choose to go that route. And again, KMRD had that part as part of our policy that we could actually file that. So it just requires documentation. And then any of you that got the PPP loans, there is a form you need to fill out to prevent you from having to go through an audit. So if you've got $2 million or less, they're basically going to, you know, not investigate, but look into people who got the money because it's such small amounts. But you have to fill out this form in order to do that. So I put links on that on the Home Staging Professionals and also the IHOSP group. And you need your loan statements and so forth from whoever provided the money. So you'll have to get that because it asks some specific questions, loan number, fill this blank in from the form, you know, Schedule A, whatever. And, you know, it's odd if you're like me, I got no paperwork. Money just showed up in our account. I signed stuff, but I haven't gotten the final docs at all. So I've written to the lender person. I said, you know, I need these to be able to fill out this paperwork. And I'm just surprised that hasn't come already. So if you're like me and you didn't get any notice and no final paperwork or here's your loan terms, write to your person and ask and see if you can't get that, because that is something you will need to fill up the SBA loan forgiveness form that keeps you from being looked into. And anybody, again, who got $2 million or less in the loan, you are eligible to fill this out, and then you're fine. The loan is forgiven, which is great. So I guess that's all the announcements I have for right now. So Barb, take it away.
Thank you. I'm so excited to be with all of you on Friday. And that's the 22nd, as Jenny said. And anyone listening from Europe, and the rest of us, we've got to keep our time straight. It would be 6:30 in the evening Friday for Europeans or, you know, different countries in Europe, all that same time. For those of us on the West Coast, it's in the morning, 9:30 a.m. So please adjust your time frame, of course, to where you are in the Midwest, East Coast, you know the routine. So it's going to be an hour and a half. And as we move along, I'm making a commitment to not go over time, so you really have that 90 minutes. And to really have paper with you and make notes. And what I would like us all to be thinking about right now is really that what is happening at any time. It could be corona, it could be, you know, a horrible economy, it could be a great economy, which it will be again, I have no doubt, and everyone to stay healthy and happy. However, challenges come along. Maybe you've lost an account that you really loved working with this company or people. Maybe you had one of your very special team members in your business who all of a sudden, just as they learned everything from you, they just up and disappeared and opened up another company. And then you ran into them at the market or a trade show, and first time you've seen them since that happened. Maybe there are challenges that your children are having. It could be with learning in general, or it could be with certain subjects, or with a neighbor's kid down the road that tends to really bully them. There are so many, many, many things that all of us are really seeing at different times of our life. I call it life. I call it life school, because I think it's one of the reasons that we're here. First of all, to learn how to love ourselves, to love other people, to love other people, to love ourselves, and not in an egotistical way, of course, is not what I'm talking about, because your life is a gift, and what an amazing gift it is. And so as these challenges move along, how do we really work through them to thrive? And without going into them now, or necessarily even on Friday, I might mention a one or two. They're just really, it's like, it is like school, because they keep coming towards us. And what state are we in to really thrive through any challenging time? Because I know it's possible. I've experienced it. I won't say every time. However, as I've gotten younger and younger and younger, I'm getting better at it all the time, because I'm not participating in any old age around here. So it's how to thrive in challenging times. And as we think about that, you know, really, the wonderful universe and being that you are a really important part of the universe, and important part, crucial part of God's universe. And really, as I share things with you, and some might sound like, wow, I never thought of that, or, well, I think I heard that sometime, but maybe it's not present for you right now or yesterday or in the future. So how do we stay like a focused beam so that no matter what comes up, we go into our mode, which hopefully isn't required every day. However, there are little challenges that come along too, that the same things I'm going to share with you are as important for as the huge, what appear to be to us and maybe others as they look at us, challenges that we have. Because whether it's a little teeny challenge or a huge challenge, what it is my joy to share with you works, I find, every single time. And the key is to know, and then as knowing, then the key is to really know it and then do it. Because we learn things all the time, and I've always said that education, you know, isn't gold, it's power. It's the implementation that is the real gold, G-O-L-D. And so it's knowing it and then applying it. And sometimes we get so scared it doesn't happen, or we get pulled in different directions and it doesn't happen. So know it, because I really look forward to sharing with you, and then do it. And then, this is the most important, is to be it. Not just in 1 year or 1 day or 1 month, but to be it constantly, because it really changes everything about how you thrive through any challenge, and really thrive all the time. So I have a number of things I hope to share with you and surprise you with, and I shared some of this in a small group in Europe, and I say this with great humility and ask you to receive it that way, sent with love, is that they said it really changed their life, things they'd not thought of before, or maybe they had and then forgot to apply them. So get ready for Friday, because fasten your seatbelt. We're going to fly, and I can hardly wait to be with you. God bless you. Stay well. Stay safe. And thank you.
Thanks, Barb. And I think not only the information probably hit them in different ways, too, because depending on what's going on in our lives, information that we receive means different things at different times. And so I'm sure that had a huge impact as well, because of all the, you know, challenges and the uncertainty and fear people are dealing with the virus, and different states are opening up at different times and different countries and so forth. So I think it's very timely. So I hope you can all take advantage of it. And Barb, are you going to record it?
Well, you know, I hadn't put the switch on for that, but I certainly will do that on Friday. And I'll ask Kirk's help to do that. And what you said is so true. And at the same time, I also want to add to that, what it is my joy to speak about is something that no matter what happens, I ask you to use it as a tool. Seriously, whether it's a pandemic or whether it's a financial one or it's a health one or with friends and relatives or whoever, those to me are like really, really important to our life, to be able to go right into that mode that I'd like to share with you. So you're absolutely right, and I'm thrilled to be able to present this so that it doesn't ever leave you. I ask you to really take it to heart. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. And so I'm excited for that. And I'm happy if you can record that, because I know there'll be people that, you know, the timing doesn't work for them, or for whatever reason they didn't even know what was happening. And so they'll want that information. So I think it'll be really helpful.
Well, thanks for saying that, Jenny, because I don't have that down. I'm doing it right now. Thank you.
Okay, good. You're welcome. All right, so Brian and Chris from Lloyd Flanders, you guys are up. And so we'll start off with, tell people who Lloyd Flanders is.
Okay. All right, Jenny, thank you. I'm Brian Eccles. I'm the VP of Sales for Lloyd Flanders. And just as a brief introduction, we are a completely outdoor woven company. We've been actually producing wicker furniture in the United States since 1906. We are the only patio manufacturer that makes any woven furniture in the United States anymore, and we make about 50% of our furniture in the U.S. What that does for us is actually gives us a lot more stability, lots more consistency. The other thing it does, it gives us more choice. In the outdoor world, so many people buy from overseas, as we do part of our product, but the part that we make here in the U.S. gives us the ability to do 20 different frame finishes, over 700 fabrics, to really create uniqueness, which I think is what more and more people are seeking when they're looking for that that outdoor area. We have long history. Like I said, we've actually been in business three and four times what many of our competitors have. We have a range of looks that go from very traditional, which is what we were always known for in the past, and we're morphing more and more into contemporary furniture. We also do woven vinyl. We do our proprietary loom product. We do teak. We do stainless steel. So we've got really a variety of looks that we can hit a lot of different feels for you, which I think for an organization like yours, with the breadth of people that you actually deal with, that's going to be very important, and why we really believe this could be a good partnership. We can go into detail about product. I don't know how much you want to do that, because we're looking forward to actually being at your show. Hopefully everything still goes forward in September.
God willing.
We're looking forward to doing that and presenting it. Yeah, exactly. We're really looking forward to actually presenting the product in person, because I think that's where a lot of it is going to make sense, when you actually get to see and feel and touch the product, to feel the quality of difference, because that's probably one of the most difficult things that we have to deal with our customers, is getting past just the general look from, you know, 30 feet away, and understanding what makes a higher-end product and why it lasts in an outdoor environment, which is probably one of the harshest environments you deal with. I know as you stage homes, you probably feel like it's a very tough environment, because you have so many people coming in and out of the homes, hopefully. But the outdoor environment with the elements that we deal with is really probably the most important, to put a quality product out there so it lasts, and also makes value for your purchase, so that you can use it in multiple properties if you need to. So that's a general overview, but if there's something else you'd like me to kind of concentrate on, I'd be more than happy to, Jenny.
Well, just so I'm actually on your site, because I just logged in. And so mm-hmm. All of you on the call know, to access our vendors, you go to the ihop.com site. You have to log in as a member, and you go to the vendor directory, and you'll find them on the vendor directory. They are, let me back out of here, they are a platinum sponsor, so they're in the second category down. And you would click on their link. You fill out your form to get your iHouse savings, but scroll down, because it has three different steps, and there's forms you can download to submit to them in order to open up an account. And so tell us, you know, you have everything from, you know, more modestly priced to high-end, correct?
Sure, correct. That is correct. We start, quality outdoor furniture is generally made of aluminum, which is going to give you the most versatility. It'll give you enough weight that if you're in a higher wind area that you'll be okay, and we can recommend things if you're in a much higher wind area. But the aluminum gives you the flexibility. One thing that a lot of people you know, don't appreciate is the changes in environment that goes on from cold to hot. Even if you're in the environment like Florida, I know we had Jacksonville on there. So you've got mainly hot, and you've got Arizona, Southern California. But there's still an extreme in temperatures that goes on. So if you have other materials out there that don't weather very well, what will happen is expansion and contraction can weaken joints. You can have furniture kind of getting weak and falling apart. But one of the biggest things is the damage from the sun. We know what it does to our skin. It also does that to furniture as well. And while a lot of things may look good the first week, the first month, even the first 6 months, not long after that is when they can turn very quickly. And that leads a lot of people to be unhappy with their outdoor furniture. And so that's our job, is to educate and also beautify their homes at the same time.
Well, educate and beautify. Yeah, and so the lines, I'm just looking, they have everything from, you have the all-weather wicker look. They have different color cushions, different styles. They have small sets to larger sectionals. And I'm not seeing the pricing on the catalog, so that would be something that we'd have to request once you fill out your information. That's something you would send to us for pricing. Is that true?
Right. One of the things that we get into is fabrics. Even though you have a range of fabrics in indoor and you have leather and things like that you deal with, there's quite a bit of difference in fabric pricing. That's one of the advantages also by dealing with Chris, that he can almost recommend, if you're looking for a certain look and price point isn't exactly what it is, sometimes we could make some suggestions to get the same style look or the same feel of a fabric and yet change it to a different price point by changing the grade of the fabric, because we only go from an A to a D, A being the starting price point, D being the highest. There is no difference in quality of the fabric. It all holds up extremely well. We use Umbrella as well as some other outdoor manufacturers of fabric. But we have so many to choose from. We can actually duplicate looks and move things around price point wise. But because there's such a difference in cushions and there is contrasting welts and little things we can do like that, it's better to actually, you know, have a little bit of help with pricing until you get more familiar with it.
So then once we want to place an order, do you have reps? We place it through our Chris, are you going to be our point of contact?
Right. I'll be the point of contact.
And I'm going to read off his email to everybody. It's Christopher with Christopher.Stedman, Stadman, at outlook.com.
E-A-D.
And then, what's that?
Jenny, it's EAD. It's Stedman.
Yes,
Stad.
Yeah. Oh, sorry. I'm looking right at it when I transposed it. I'm not dyslexic, I promise. Stedman at outlook.com. And that information, by the way, is on the IHOSP site, so I'm reading it directly from there.
Right.
And this is for people listening to the call later, because it is being recorded, that they'll know how to find you. But all of our members, just log in to the site, go to the vendor program, and you'll be able to have his information at the bottom of the Lloyd Flanders link. When you click on the little box, it'll take you to this information.
Right.
So what's the best way for us to, is it email is what you prefer? Because I see you also have your cell phone on here, which can be sort of dangerous.
Right. They can call me. I live in Las Vegas, so I work kind of late. So if you're working, depending on where you live, you can call me late and or just shoot me an email or fax. It'll go to my computer and create a PDF. The one advantage that we do have as a company is, Brian intimated earlier, is that since we're in the U.S., we custom make all of our product. So all of our product is made in 12 to 15 business days. And because of that also, we don't have a minimum. So if for your initial order, you only want to just try it out with a sofa or a sofa love seat or a sofa, any type of chair, that you can do that. You don't have to buy X amount of dollars or 10 or 15 pieces.
And I like the idea that, the things are a little bit more weighty, heavier. You have product that does that, because when we stage here, sometimes we'll do the condos that are the high, the skinny, tall ones, and you're doing an upper party deck. And I literally have had furniture go flying two buildings over because of the wind. And I'm like, okay, I guess I'm not getting that piece back. So it's nice if things are a little bit more substantial, and it's worth investing in. And as a stager, we do get asked to do outdoor areas. And rather than have to say, I don't do that, and turn the business away, maybe they find another stager that does, start incorporating some of this. And what I do is I charge a premium, because these don't have as long of life. So if you have, pieces that you want to put into your inventory, you treat them differently than you would a regular in-house sofa in Accenture or whatever, because they are out in the elements. And so you can charge more because it's a courtesy. These people don't have to purchase on their own, but they want that look. So, you know, I encourage you all to go take a look at their lineup, because it's, I mean, they've got, you know, a lot of variety of styles and colors, and would be appropriate for just about any type of property, whether it's just a little bistro set or you want a full sectional and tables and chairs and so forth.
One thing I didn't mean to interrupt. I have a delay on my phone. But one thing I did want to mention, one advantage you do have with ours is because it is the aluminum frame, it is going to hold up a lot better than some of the other items you might have found in a little bit lower end, you know, outdoor settings and things like that. So this is going to be very durable. One of the things we always try to promote is our loom product, which we make here in the United States. One of the biggest advantages to that is the ability to repaint it. We offer it in 20 different frame finishes, but you cannot paint vinyl furniture, even including our own, so you can't change it. Whatever the frame color is the way that it will always be. However, with our loom product, you could actually get anybody that paints cars, or you could even do it yourself if you wanted to. But if you have one in your inventory and you ordered it in black and you literally need to turn it into purple or something like that, that's really kind of out there to make that real strong punch that you might want for a unique area that somebody's doing, you can actually do that very easily with our loom product. We have that happen all the time where people will change the finish over time because it does last so long that a lot of times they want to change the feel of it and the look of it by changing the frame color.
That's great. Yeah, and I love that because it's also, you can give it new life. So I'm excited for you guys to be a sponsor, and I really do hope that we get to see you in person in Denver. And those of you on the call, we are looking at possibly doing, you know, just getting information on a virtual conference just in case we have to go that route. And Colorado has not made any announcements as far as large gatherings. It's encouraging to me that the market is open in, you know, Vegas and Atlanta, so other places are choosing to do larger events. And, of course, the host hotel is hoping that, you know, their events that are in the fall will take place. So we are still planning and moving forward, and as soon as we have any, you know, added information on what's happening, we'll make sure everybody knows.
Okay. Great. Does anyone have any questions for Brian or I that's on the call?
Any questions? Okay, well, if you do, you can always email Chris.
Yep.
And we did provide that email, and you can get more info, but go check out their link if you haven't. And I'm going to be doing that right away after the call because we have a short-term rental person that they want to do outdoor furniture. So I was hoping we'd be able to work with you guys, which would be great. So.
Yep.
And
we,
I
have
the turnaround time.
Yeah. A real quick thing just to mention also, we have this quick ship program until June 19th. So that is a limited amount of collections that we actually can ship in a five-day period. So there's a limited amount of collections, which are three, and then there's three different finishes, and then four different fabrics, and then there's different pieces for each one. So literally, since we're in Michigan, Menominee, depending where you're at, it wouldn't be that long for you to get the product as well.
That's great. Yeah, because oftentimes it's clients that want it right away, so your ability to do that is really helpful. So, well, great. Thank you so much, Brian and Chris. We appreciate
you
being on. Thank you for supporting IHOSP and our members and our association, and I hope to meet you in person in Denver. So I'm going
to
go. No, it's a fun event, so I really hope we get to hold it. All right, so I'm going to go move forward and talk about our statistics.
Yeah.
And so the
IHOSP. Have a nice more that weekend.
Yeah. Yeah, you too. Thank you.
Okay. You're welcome.
So our industry stats came out last week, and so they are. It's a 34-page document, and you can find it on the IHOSP site. It is on the public side because we do want the public to see the statistics, and then there's also some infographics and things that are available that you can use, share them with your real estate agents, put them in your proposals and so forth because we want you to use those, post them on social media. And so if you haven't seen that, just go to IHOSP.com, and it's right on the homepage of the association. You'll see that. So the 34-page document goes over a lot of different things. It talks about we analyzed experience and number of years in business for the stagers that responded, impact of staging on the real estate industry, so we discussed that, number of properties staged annually, buyer industry, the types of properties that we stage, the impact staging has on days on market for properties, the price of properties being staged, the average investment to stage a vacant property, the average investment for a staging consultation. There's an infographic on staging impact and benefits for real estate agents. There's also, after this was done, I actually created the process of a staging consultation and typical pricing. So those are available, plus we pulled out some of the stats on the days on market and so forth, just these images and so forth. And, again, you can utilize those for your marketing and your proposals and so forth. So it starts off, there's an estimated fewer than 10,000 professional home stagers in the industry worldwide. And that's, you know, based on what I know our numbers are in the U.S. and in Canada and so forth and other countries. So I think that's an accurate estimate. I don't think anyone would disagree with that. And that equates to approximately 1% of realtors, because there's about a million, and about 0.5% of licensed real estate agents in the U.S. alone. So there's 2.1 million roughly real estate agents, and there's actually about 1.4 million realtors, but that's worldwide. And so in the U.S., there's just under a million realtors, and the rest are, I don't know if you guys knew this, but NAR is global, even though it's National Association of Realtors. They should have been like Barb and called it IAR, International Association of Realtors, because they are international. And so we truly are a microcosm of the overall real estate industry, yet we have a significant impact on the process of buying and selling houses. And I've shared this, I think, two calls ago, but in 2019, an estimated 5 million properties were bought and sold in the United States. And based on our data compiled from our industry members, approximately 1 million of those properties involved using a stager. That's about 20% of the properties that were bought and sold. In some of your markets, that percentage is higher than 20%. You might have areas where 30, 40% are staged. The San Francisco Bay Area, you're hard-pressed to find a house that isn't staged prior to coming on the market. I would wager to guess higher than 90% of those properties are staged, which is great. So using our statistics, we came up with 20%. So I think that's a conservative number with some regard. But when you think about that, we interacted with 20% of the listing agents, 20% of the buyer's agents, 20% of sellers and buyers. And so if you look at the number of people, that's listing agent, buyer's agent, sellers and buyers, that's 4 million people, because every property has those four people involved. And that's significant. So I put in here, as such, our industry deserves to be recognized as a vital part of marketing and selling a property. Yet we're not quite there, because if those of you that applied for a PPP loan and these different things, when it came to putting in your SIC code or, you know, the code, like what industry are you in, we weren't even listed. You know, they had photography, they had other things, but the, you know, home staging wasn't even listed. And if we tried to put in real estate, are you a real estate agent? Are you a lender? Are you an investor? They didn't have anything for stager. So that's something that we have some homework to do to really keep educating the end users that we are significant and shouldn't continue to be bypassed by people that think staging is just, you know, oh, we don't really need to do that. Because the statistics say that when it's staged, it's going to sell for more and it's going to sell faster than the marketed unstaged, non-staged competition. So the approximate number of properties in our survey was 100,000. So that's a lot. Somebody put something up on one of the groups that was like talking about virtual staging and had shared that, you know, oh, 45% of millennials or 35% of millennials don't even look at a property before making, you know, before buying it. And, 57%. So they threw these statistics out. So I'm like, well, what is that? Because I hadn't seen that survey. That's significant to me, if literally half the millennials don't even look at a property that they purchase. And so it turns out that it was a Redfin survey of 5,000 or 4,000 people that either did buy a house, tried to buy a house, or just thought about buying a house. So that's not really an accurate representation of the overall market of buyers and sellers. And Hoover just came on. Hello. But I can hear you driving, so we'll mute your phone, if you wouldn't mind. So it's not a real accurate reflection. And what it was is these people made an offer by seeing it online, but they still went in person to the property. And so at that point, when the house isn't professionally staged, there's going to be a big fat letdown. So whoever's, I'm sorry to interrupt, but whoever just came on, you're driving in a car, and I need you to mute your phone so I can hear you, the street noise. So if you're listening and you just came on, if you could please do that, I'd appreciate it. So would everybody else. So the number of years in business, ranged from people who were new, you know, 0 to 3 years in business was about 34%, all the way up to 16 plus years. So we had a real diverse representation of our respondents. So 45% were newer, 18% were what I call old timers, and then 14% were 5 to 7 years, et cetera. So you can see the breakdown on the survey. The impact of staging on the real estate industry, if the number of stagers globally, let's say, is 10,000, number of houses staged by stagers, 1 million, number of buyers impacted, 1 million, number of sellers, 1 million, number of realtors, 1.4 million in the industry, number of real estate agents is 22.2 million. So it breaks it down so you can see that our number is so small compared to these other larger numbers that I didn't even get a little pie wedge because there is so tiny. So again, we're a microcosm, but we make a big impact. The median priced home nationwide is $247,000, and that's a current statistic from April. Properties from $100,000 to $2.5 million and above were included in the survey. So 40% of the properties that responded $350,000 to $500,000, 22% were $500,000 to $750,000, 22% were $750,000 to $950,000, 25% were the lower 100 to 350, and then 21% were over 1 million. So again, we got a nice sampling of properties, and this goes to show people that believe that only the nice properties need to be staged and we don't need to do the lower end. That's not accurate, and so we need to educate our clients. Every house deserves to look its best before being listed for sale, not just the higher priced ones. Then we asked, how would you define your market? And 65, almost 66% said the market is correcting, which means the market has slowed, lower price points sell quickly, and higher priced properties sit longer. And then a hot market was at almost about 31.4%, and then the remainder was slow. Houses are taking 6 months or longer to sell. 67% of the people who responded, the stagers stage luxury properties, which is great. Then we moved into days on market. The impact on days on market for an average priced property is 3 to 30 times faster. Staging impact. And what we did is we said, did you ever stage a house that had been sitting on the market? We've all done that. And then they call you in to stage it. So how long had it been on the market before you staged it? And then after you staged it, how quickly did it get an offer and go under contract? So that was 3 to 30 times faster than just sitting on the market. And then we also looked at, it was not sitting on the market. You staged it first, then it was listed for sale. How quickly did it go under contract? So anywhere from 1 day to 2 to 3 weeks was the biggest piece. So again, much, much faster than sitting on the market and not having an offer. And sellers do not save the money they don't want to spend on staging. They lose it with a lower list price or price reductions. And it's really important that everybody understand how to calculate that for your clients. So if your staging estimate is $2,500 on a $500,000 property, and they're like, nah, we're not going to stage it, and they sit on the market and have a price reduction, that price reduction is going to be my estimate, at least $10,000 on a $500,000 property to get the attention of buyers who haven't made an offer yet. And so that's 4X the staging investment. And my experience is that the staging investment is anywhere from 5 to 20 times less than a price reduction. So they don't save the money they don't want to spend. They need to invest it up front with the staging, because staging is an upfront investment that maximizes the rate of return on the sale of the house. We separated out luxury properties. They sold 10 to 30 times faster. And so, again, the stats are on there for ones that were sitting on the market, weren't staged, they get staged. You can do the comparison of how long did it sit versus going under contract once it was staged. And then just the properties that were just staged right away went on the market after it was staged for the first time. So the statistics are there. And again, the staging helps the houses sell much, much faster. So the proof is in the results. Let's talk about price. So the statistics show anywhere from 1% to 20% more for a staged property. This actually is exactly what NAR had came out with their profile of home staging. So the statistics are right in line with that. The majority was like 1% to 3% was about 40%. Then 10 to 12% was 10 to 12% of the respondents got, 10 to 12% more. And then 4 to 6% more is about 17% of the respondents. And so you can take a look at the data. And then it also shows how much more they got for the staging. So it could be, a few thousand dollars to over $100,000. It just depends on the property. So the breakdown is there for you. Now, remember that when a house is staged, there's the staged list price versus just the list price. And that's, again, something you need to be teaching to your clients. When they uplift the list price of the property, so they already got their equity, the increased equity, it could be $15,000, $20,000 more. You need to ask those questions. Hey, did you list this property at a higher price that was still within the acceptable range for buyers because it was staged? So you need to ask your realtors that, because they go, yeah, we actually elevated it by $15,000 because we knew it was going to look really great. Well, that's equity that they wouldn't have had you not staged. You need to be tracking those numbers for your own personal statistics and also for the industry. Because they may not sell, they may not get an over-asking price, they may not get multiple offers at that price, but they get a full price offer, that means it's sold at $15,000 more than had it not been staged. So we need to be asking the right questions of our clients so we can actually get the data that we want. Then we go into what is a staging consultation. So I define this for the agents out there, because a lot of them, people are still using consultation, but they really mean a preview, which is that's complimentary, and that's when you're looking at a property that you're going to be staging, so you need to see it in order to come up with the pricing, versus a consultation, which is a service provided by a professional home stager where specific recommendations are provided to homeowners to help them prepare their property for sale. And so we kind of break that down, give them the definition, so they know when they're calling us what they need to be asking for. And also stagers that are in the industry who haven't been taught the terminology, and we're working on that, but they understand consultation is a paid service, a preview is complimentary. And then it's, so what is a hands-on staging? So we define that for them as well. And then we talk about 95% of stagers provide consultations from our survey. The average investment for the service is $100 to $350. That's the average. So somebody already wrote back, well, I charge more than that for my market. It's based on the property location around the country, the price points, and so forth. This is the average, which means there might be some lower, hopefully not too much lower, and then some higher. But the good news is we're not saying that staging is $500 flat like NAR did, where people think they're going to get a vacant house staged for $500. It just isn't going to happen. 80.4% of consultations turns into hands-on stagings in this survey. So if your conversion rate for your consultations isn't there, like you're not getting back in the door to help them finish it off or maybe bring some course to enhance or what have you to help them, that's something with your marketing that you need to make sure that you're sharing that message of the additional services you offer. Because you'd be amazed at how many people are like, what, you come back and you can do this for me? That's awesome. You know, how much does that cost? And you can give them an estimate. And then you use what they have, or you can bring supplemental things in, but then you're in charge of how that house gets finished off. And when they can pack up a lot of the stuff that you don't need, when you're doing the consultation, you need to be saying, when I come back, I can do this. When I come back, the team can do this. We can bring this. And you're planting that seed the whole time that you're doing the consultation, so then you can get back in the door. What type of hands-on staging? Using only what the homeowner has. That was 42% of respondents. Using owner's items combined with your things, about 77% showed that. And then I don't provide any hands-on staging was 10% of the respondents. So 41% use what the homeowner has, 77% will provide added furnishings and decor. The investment for hands-on staging is $250 to $3,000. I hope you guys are cheering right now, because in the past that would be shown as $500 from NAR. So our clients need to know that the more we offer, the longer the time takes, the bigger the project is, the more it's going to be as far as an investment for them. So the investment for hands-on staging, $250 to $3,000, using only the owner's things. And then we break it down. Investment for supplementing with staging items is also the same range, $250 to $3,000 for the properties. And then when it comes to pricing for staging, it's important to keep in mind these important factors. Now, you can also take this information and put it on a marketing piece. Staging adds value to the sale and makes a property more marketable. I hope you all agree with that. The professionals who own companies to support the needs of realtors, sellers, builders, and investors are running businesses and deserve to make a profit, don't we? Do you feel guilty making money? I mean, why shouldn't we make a profit? Just like everyone else involved in the sale. From the lender to the title rep to the photographer to the videographer to the appraiser to the listing agent to the buyer's agent to the seller, everyone makes money on the sale. Why should stagers be any different? Staging pricing is a factor of the following: expertise, size, and location. A professional stager who has more experience may charge more, but they're also faster than someone who's new. And and the size of the property impacts the time it takes to complete the staging, and the location of the property from the region of the country to the part of town impacts price. Stagers earn more in larger metro areas where properties tend to cost more than in rural areas, and fees are in line with the price of properties and the real estate industry. Logistics, this is point number three, logistics impacts any staging project. Some stagers who run larger businesses have to hire movers. Their staging crew have moving trucks and warehouses. That's part of their overhead, and the costs have to be factored into any staging project. The furnishings provided for staging properties are an investment for the home stager and income stream, and they're carefully curated for the type of property staged by the company. And it's what clients pay for when they hire a professional stager. It's always best to have, this is point four, have the professional home stager provide pricing for staging a property versus misquoting the pricing or expectations to your client. And that's targeted to the agents that start quoting our pricing, where they come and say, well, I only want to spend this much money, or my client only has this much to pay. And so, I'm sorry.
I'm on a call, guys.
Sorry. We had a flood in the house, and the plumber's here. I apologize. So anyhow, it's important that we're the ones that are providing pricing for our services. And then many stages provide additional resources and services you or your client may need. Make sure to ask about those, as well as any discounts on those resources they can provide. So that could be paints, it could be furnishings, or whatever you additionally can provide to them. And then lastly, point six, good staging isn't cheap, and cheap staging isn't good. And I borrowed that from a graphic. Okay, so then we get into vacant properties. So 92% of home stagers stage vacant properties. The size of vacant properties ranged from small all the way up to over 4,000. And so you can see that in the survey. And it says, why do vacant properties cost more? So unless you run a staging company, you would have no idea what it takes to stage a vacant property. There are 16 steps we go through in staging a vacant property. This means vacant property staging does require a larger investment for staging than a consultation. Our clients typically see two or three of the 16 steps. When you pay for the service, all of these elements of time and planning are part of the overall process. And it's the convenience of having on-trend furnishing and decor that you don't have to purchase, used to stage to market and sell your property. And then there's the 16 vacant staging project planner graphic. And if you haven't seen that, that is part of the fast track session, but it's also included in here, and I can upload it to the G Drive. But it's just an infographic that breaks down the 16 different steps that we go through, and our clients maybe see two of those 16. So again, it's about educating our clients that it's not just the furniture magically shows up. There's a bunch of planning that goes into it, and then the logistics part of it. They just don't have an idea, and that's because they don't run a business like we do. So the average investment to stage a vacant average property is $1,500 to $6,000 in the survey, $1,500 to $6,000. The average investment to stage a luxury vacant ranged from $2,000 to $10,000 more, $10,000 plus. So again, the survey provides accurate pricing for staging a property. And some of you will be like, well, I can't stage a luxury property for $2,000. It all depends on your market. And luxury, again, is 2x the median average price property in a market. So for some areas, that might be $500,000. For other areas, it might be $2 million. So that's why there's such a range, because we didn't limit it to just, you know, fancy $1 million properties or more. So it's any luxury vacant property. Then we asked, do you provide additional recommendations? So almost 62% of stagers said they provide added recommendations for flooring, fixtures, counters, cabinetry, lighting, paint colors, hardware, landscaping, et cetera. So that's money. When you can tell somebody, by the way, I specialize in advising sellers what today's buyers want to see in a property, and I can give you recommendations for these different areas, and that's a paid service. Then we identified the priority areas to stage: living, dining, family, kitchen, casual dining, the kitchen counters, master bedroom, baths, and outdoor areas. And so other areas such as offices, finished basements, game areas, lofts, and secondary bedrooms could be included based on budget. Then it provides the two infographics, home staging stats, so it breaks down houses. Staging helps houses sell 3 to 30 times faster, the average investment for consultation, $150 to $350, the average investment for staging a vacant, $1,500 to $10,000, increase in sales price up to 20% more, and it has the logo at the bottom. And then the other one is the areas, top areas to stage: living, dining, master kitchen, bathrooms, and then why stage: make more money for your sellers, earn more commission, gain more listings, get more referrals. So the second infographic would be targeted. You could send that with the other one to agents specifically, because that's what the benefits are.
the benefits for real estate agents. I put in the marketing piece, the if you had a tool that could help your listings sell faster and for the best price, would you use it? If you had a tool that could help your sellers make the most on the sale of their house, would you want to know about it? If you had a tool that could help you make more money in commissions and get more listings, would you want to know about it? And when I've done presentations in the past in offices, this is what I bring. And it's this marketing piece actually is on the IHOS site for you. And when the agents all say yes, 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 yes. So when yes is the answer to the questions, why isn't every house staged? And then I just pause and I look at them. Because they just told me that if they had this tool that could help their sellers benefit, could help them benefit, it could help the listings sell faster, oh, yes, we'd want to use it. Then why aren't you? So home staging is your proven tool for success to win more listings, to make more money, to have happier sellers, to preserve a client relationship, and to get more referrals. Then we give them the top 10 benefits of staging, which, again, is on our site. Time equals money. Do you know your worth? If you're a realtor, do you know how much your time is worth? For each hour you invest in your business growth, how much do you get back in return? And so how do you earn your income? Realtors make income when you close the sale or purchase of a property for a client. How many hours do you invest in the process of working with the seller once you've secured the listing? So for smooth transactions, I did interview realtors on this, average time investment is about 40 hours per property where there's no surprises, between listing prep, the listing, paperwork, coordinating the staging, et cetera. The number goes up when the market is slower, as there will be more time put towards open houses, marketing the property, et cetera, and if there's any fires to put out. So the question is, do you really need to be the one moving furniture around in a house or telling your seller to declutter? No. Your time is too valuable. You do not get paid to stage. You get paid to sell. Leave the staging up to the professional home stager and remove yourself from this part of the process so your time is freed up for you to make more calls for client appointments and to lead that lead to a sale where you earn your income, your commission. Trust your stager and allow these experts to support you in your business. So that could also be, this is a PDF, so you can download the whole thing and then you can parcel out certain pages and use them if you would like to. Then I put in the how much can you earn when you stage your listings, marketing pieces that have been on our site for a very long time, but it breaks down the median priced property, $247, and if a realtor has 2 to 4 houses or listing per month, how much more will they make or earn when they stage? And so for that priced property, it's $56,304. And then for a $500,000 property, it's $90,000 or more. And if you have not ever looked at these, because it's math, if you've not looked at these, take some time and download them. So it's how much can you make or earn when you stage your listings. This resonates with clients because you're telling them, you know, all you got to do is add staging. This is how much more you're going to make based on the statistics. So that's in the report as well. And then the final page is a summary about IHOS and who we are and what we stand for. So that's 34 pages. So again, go to the IHOS site. You can download this. There's also the infographics that we provided to you. And there are currently right now, oops, I don't want that open. Again, the infographic, the consultation, one that I came up with that is not in the 34 page. So make sure you download that. And sorry, I opened up the wrong file here. Infographic. Okay, so it has things that could go on Instagram, just a picture with a sort of a blurred image of different things in a property. So it's a 3 to 30 times faster for average and then up to 20 times faster than non-staged properties. So you'll be able to download those. The home staging consultation pricing and process is in there. And I'll keep coming up with different infographics as, you know, they come to my head. I actually have one I got to put in here for the real estate agents. So use these, please, and share them. It is public information because, again, we want the public to know the statistics. And so I didn't make it private because we want people to know this. And then understand that the survey was a large number of properties represented. And so we feel really good about the data. And to date, we're the only ones that have put anything out for 2020. And so please, please use the statistics and share them with your clients and any other industry colleagues that need to have data to support staging. So at this point, hello? Hello?
Hello? Hello?
Hi, can you hear me?
Jenny?
Yeah, I'm here.
I can. It's like everything disappeared. Nobody was there. So I'm glad you're there.
Second time it's done that for me, and I had to call back in.
Yeah, it's true. Sounds weird.
So hopefully everybody heard that. Yeah, the call is recorded, so if you missed anything, if that happened, you'll be able to get the call on the membership portal. So does anybody have any questions on the info that was shared? If you don't, maybe you're going to look at the report for the first time. If you have any questions on info that's shared, or you have suggestions for infographics for us to develop, or little marketing pieces that you can use, just please email me, and then we'll get those put together for you. I did get some feedback from Facebook, which was really helpful as far as what people thought about the graphics and the coloring and wording and so forth, because it's nice to have feedback. So these are, again,
beautiful
here for you guys
job.
To use.
Beautiful.
Oh, thank you.
I love the numbers, Jenny. Awesome. And the way you did it. Awesome.
Yeah, because, I mean, it's NAR will come out with another survey in 2021, and our goal is, you know, we're sending these to NAR, to all the, you know, leaders of different real estate companies and so forth, because they need to know the data. And we need to take control of, you know, professional control of the pricing and the process and the communication about staging. And the only way to do that is to educate. And, you know, as Barb, I know you'd say, you never stop educating, right?
Right.
Constant process.
Because even when we educate them, they forget and don't use this, so we have to keep educating over and over again, as you know.
Right, absolutely. And so these numbers will hopefully, you know, they definitely support what we all know and love about staging, and so use them. Because it's one thing to say, oh, you know, by the way, there's that statistic that has been taught about for years, or talked about, I should say. It was this whole HUD housing and urban development was like staged houses sell for 17% more. And it's become like this urban legend, because that survey, I mean, I scoured the internet. I looked for that thing. I wrote to HUD. I'm like, where did this come from? There's no documentation to support it, and it gets perpetuated on people's websites. And so if you're ever asked, if you have some stat on your site and you can't support it, that makes you, it loses credibility for you. So know that these stats are supported. We have the data, and so you can feel good about putting them on your site and using them and sharing them with your clients. So we want, you know, actual current data that backs up what we share. And I imagine when NAR comes out, they take it from the real estate agent's perspective. You know, from the listing agent and the seller, and the buyer's agent and the buyer and seller, that's their approach, versus they've never interviewed a stager, to my knowledge, about our pricing. So now this will help them to be able to put accurate pricing into this survey, because the agents should not be the ones telling the industry what we charge. So that is it for me. Our next call will be, of course, in June, and right now that is set for June 15th, which is the third Monday. And so we will be back with another great set of interviews and information for you. And until then, keep working away and keeping a positive attitude, and make sure to register for the webinar on May 22nd with Barb. And again, if you have any questions or concerns, you know, we're here for you. So I know that some people, I know that you've been isolated alone. You have not been able to really see anybody because you're still sheltered in place. So, you know, reach out to your colleagues. You know, don't feel like you're bothering anybody. We love social media for that, or just reach out one-on-one, because we do want to encourage each other and be there for each other, because we love our members. We love our IHOS family. We love our industry. And we're going to get through this and be stronger when we come out of it. And we'll all be able to look back on our life and say, remember the pandemic of 2020? I remember this happened to me. And so it'll become this, you know, this thing that's made this reference point. So with that, I say goodbye to everybody, and be well, be safe, and we'll talk to you next month. Thanks, everyone.
Bye.
Thanks.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank
you.
Bye.
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 Thank you.
Bye.
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 Ciao.